Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
Dollar D. Beyonce Productions.
I'm not being the greatest.
Let's get that going.
I've been here before, and I know what it takes. Hard work, dedication, BoxingWiz.com, and what is TV, he's the best.
Win, lose, or draw, we coming to fight. Can't nobody take that away. We're coming to fight.
They do what they can, I do what I want.
When you look at how he throws that left hook, it starts out really low. We're going to see what kind of character he is.
Oh, the left and right by Maidana. And it's all Marcos Maidana. Here's a lot of those punches off his shoulder. That was...
I think anybody out there listening there, anybody think that that's a dangerous deal to make?
I mean,
watch this.
15 minutes. Can you listen? The concentration is leaving a little bit. Pick it up. Pick it up.
Some things, Bob. We got to deal with the body shots. I don't think you want to be that close to us.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another spontaneous edition of the Boxing Voice. We are back, and today we're back with some breaking news. Jermell Charlo, former 154-pound IBF champion, holds wins over, you know, Michael Finley, Austin Trout, Julian Williams, and most recently, at 160 pounds, Jorge Sebastian Hyland, making him the mandatory to the WBC at 160, and that champion is Gennady Golovkin. We're going to give you some details as to why he cannot immediately fight Golovkin, who is the current WBC champion, and we'll let you know what has been mandated by the WBC, which will be an interim title bout between Jermall Charlo and Hugo Centeno Jr. It's an interesting matchup. Some may like it, some may not. We're going to head on out to the Golden State. Mr. Just Woke Up himself, Matt the Hipster Hunter.
Dollar D. Beyonce Production.
This is a beautiful performance against a very tough guy in Michael Johnson. How do you feel about it?
Fuck that. Conor McGregor.
BoxingVoice.com.
He know me, Larry. From a wicked entrance, from a flip over the rock, into a knockout. When he the main thing is, I just want the guy. I wish.
BoxingVoice.com.
Yes, the hipsters here. Haters beware. And before I get to anything, we did have our inaugural TBV in the Morning show with our new overlay earlier this morning, even though it's 8 a.m., somehow Ness didn't want to include me in, you know, in the morning and have that, you know, me be on the first day of the show. It's okay. I understand, Ness. It's okay. But Jermall Charlo versus Hugo Centeno Jr. Hugo Centeno Jr. coming off that huge knockout win over Emmanuel Aleem. So much to talk about here. Is this a good matchup? Is this the right matchup that's a build-up to a Triple G Canelo winner for Jermall Charlo? Because I think most people are going to pick Jermall Charlo to beat Centeno in this fight. But is Centeno a live dog here? I mean, there's so many things to get from this fight. Can we chop it off? And Mr. Doomy's here. Two shows in a row.
Doomy in attendance.
Well, let's come on back to New Jersey.
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and most vicious and most ruthless champion that ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynch is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody like me. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impeccable. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart.
Get up!
Does he realize that he's muted? You know, playing another amateur doomsday move.
Jermall Charlo, me nah, man. This, I've been up early, Maddie. But yeah, nah, Jermall Charlo versus Hugo Santana. It's an interesting matchup. I mean, they've had like opponents, I believe, in Julian Williams. Jermall Charlo being the bigger guy, you know, I'm always gonna lean towards Jermall. He's on a hot streak, him and his brother. I see Hugo being a live dog, however. So yeah.
Live dog. Interesting choice of words, ladies and gentlemen. Interesting choice of words. Because when I originally seen this news, I said to myself, well, this could go one of two ways. It could be an easy win for Jermall Charlo. Like Doomsday already mentioned, his size. He's been on a hot streak, you know. He's knocking guys out. Superb uppercut that he landed on Julian Williams. Also, the jab, right? Him and his brother are so fundamental. And they keep the jab out there. They have those fundamentals down packed for sure. Now, some people might get upset, right, Matt? I mean, definitely the PBC detractors are going to say, well, he's fighting 154-pounder because Hugo Centeno did have a draw with a common opponent in Julian Williams at 154 pounds when he faced Julian J-Rock Williams. Many of us had J-Rock winning the fight, but Centeno got a draw nonetheless. And then he also lost at 154 pounds to Selchecki, if I'm pronouncing it right. I believe he's Russian. They fought on Showbox.
Yes.
But since then, he's been able to bounce back. I believe he changed trainers. He's not with Eric Brown anymore, I don't think. And he put on some weight. He went up to 60, and he impressed the hell out of me. He just impressed the hell out of me with his knockout win of Emmanuel Aleem. Now, the thing is, Emmanuel Aleem bust on the scene and scored a very impressive win himself over Evgan Heitrov, who is trained by Andre Rozier and Gary Starks Sr. When those two met, I didn't know what to expect. I thought that the heavily touted Evgan Heitrov would pull away with the win, and Aleem surprised us all. He became then what I believed was the interim WBC champion, or maybe silver. I know that our producer and slash co-host Matt on the side can double check with BoxRec to see what they have it listed. Is it a silver? Is it an interim WBC? But he was given a green belt that day. Fast forward, he fights Centeno in a fight that I thought he would win because A, naturally bigger fighter. He was already at 60. Centeno moving up to 60. Go ahead, Matt.
It was a silver belt, not an interim belt.
Can you find out what's the difference between interim, silver, and intercontinental? Like,
Yeah, I can look that up for you.
So where was I? We were in Centeno moving up and assuming Aleem, who'd been looking good, especially against Evgan Heitrov, that he would win because we had Centeno basically losing the Julian J-Rock Williams fight. Then he lost on Showbox to Maljestic Sulcheki, something like that. I'm definitely butchering the name, but
Sulecki.
There you go. So we didn't expect Centeno A to have the power to score a knockout and B for it to be that type of performance. So I said all that, Matt, all that to then turn back and ask you a question that you'll probably answer a lot quicker and simpler than my drawn out story. But I did want to give information to our listeners, but
and very quickly,
we really be counting him out since he demonstrated surprising power.
Before I answer that question, the difference between a silver belt or an interim belt, there really is no difference. They actually use interchangeably. The first time the silver belt was used was in 2010, Justin Savi versus Cyril Thomas in France. It was the silver belt was made to replace the interim belt, but now they're sort of used both interchangeably. But the only difference is the silver belt cannot be upgraded to a full championship if the full championship is vacated. Only an interim title holder can do that. So let's say hypothetically, Triple G is the actual full WBC champion. Let's say this is for the interim belt. if Jamal Charlo wins and then Triple G retires, Jamal Charlo is automatically upgraded to a full championship status. If he was a silver championship, technically speaking, he would not be allowed to be fully upgraded to championship status upon that happening.
Now, for those fight fans that believe Jamal Charlo is everything I think he is, you know, should we be upset?
I can understand why some are. Or again, I don't know if people are. I don't know what the read is on this fight yet, to be honest. This is very new news. So I don't know what the consensus is. But I assume there are some people saying, oh, this is an easy mismatch. This is a tune-up or something. They're going to say those words. And I can see why. Jamal Charlo is a great boxer, great power, his speed, his reflexes. Like, he checks all the boxes for what it takes to be a great boxer in this sport. Hugo Centeno is not that guy. But he is always a live dog. He is scrappy in that sense. And he does have that little bit underrated power. So he could maybe get Charlo to respect him. So there is a live dog essence because of the power. Once you add power to the element, it always makes a underdog seem more like a live dog. But Charlo should still be the overwhelming favorite in this fight. Because most people, I think, suspect Charlo should be up there with the Triple G's, the Canelos, the Jacobs, the Saunders, the Lemieux. They think he belongs at that tier, not the Centeno tier.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I believe he belongs at that Triple G. I was just talking to Ness a little earlier off air. Like, I see him already facing him. You'll see some of his highlights, you know, that he has that one knockout power. And, you know, he definitely shows aggression. He's not afraid, you know. I don't think that Jamal will be one of those guys to be, you know, scared or intimidated by, you know, the boogeyman stories. So, yeah. Centeno, however, you know, he can still produce a good fight, an action fight. You know, I don't see it going to the distance, but you just never know.
It could just be a stay busy fight for Charlo, because the middleweight picture at the top is very murky right now. We don't know what's going to happen with Triple G Canelo. We don't know what's going to happen with Billy Joe Saunders, David Lemieux. We don't know what's going to happen with Daniel Jacobs. There's a lot of question marks at the top. So I see this as a stay busy fight to see who comes out of those top five and who Charlo's going to pick off. That's what I see this as.
Now, I know for certain that there are some fans upset that Charlo isn't facing Jacobs. I've even seen things saying that this is just Al Haymon's way of keeping Jacobs and Charlo separate. I really don't see how that connection could even be made. It seems, if you're intelligent and know the sport of boxing, it seems that they're on a collision course. Jacobs is on one end, feeling a sense of entitlement because of his close fight with Triple G, and also has a sense of, like, he's got like the big brother behind him, and the big brother being the machine that is HBO, saying on air numerous times that the fight was close and that he deserves a rematch. And then you have Jermell Charlo on this side of the track saying, I'm the mandatory, aligning himself, positioning himself, Jamal Charlo, positioning himself in the WBC rankings to become the mandatory, to force it. So either man may or may face Triple G before they face each other, but
Or Canelo. I think that's even still more obvious, because he's a money fight. Remember, everyone's going towards the money fight, not necessarily.
Well, when it comes to Triple G,
very similar. Hold on, very quickly. It's similar to how, like, no one's talking about Wilder Joseph Parker now, because everyone knows that they're trying to get Joshua. They're trying to get that fight. I think a lot of people are going to stop talking about Jacobs Charlo right now, because we all know they're trying to get Triple G Canelo.
Yeah,
they want the winner of that.
Yeah. I was going to say, the way that this little WBC law was written, and what I read, is that because Charlo right now is the mandatory, Jamal Charlo is the mandatory for the WBC champion in Gennady Golovkin, this mandate is coming down due to that, because they want to be respectful of their champion Gennady and give him the proper time to negotiate a rematch. So instead, they are mandating an interim fight between Hugo, who at one point either holds the interim title already, or Silver that he beat from Aleem, versus their number one mandatory in Jamal. Now, the reason for that is because if negotiations don't go well with Gennady and Canelo, Mauricio Sulaiman said it would be unfair for Gennady to have to rush into the mandatory, and he should be entitled to a voluntary. So this opens it up for him to at least have a voluntary in that interim time. Like, okay, Canelo Triple G isn't going to happen right now. I don't want to fight Charlo per se, because I just want to, you know, quickly do something, stay undefeated, and see can me and Canelo continue negotiations. So this is allegedly to make, you know, allow that to happen, because they don't want to be part of not making the big fight, quote unquote. So yeah, I mean, look, we've reported it, we've said it.
I don't know about that theory though. I don't know. I mean, for the WBC maybe, but it doesn't mean that Al Haymon and Charlo and their camp wants to do that. And Centennial is with Al Haymon, right?
Yes.
I don't believe that they are inclined to make this fight to allow Triple G and Canelo to happen. No, that's not the case for the WBC maybe. Because the WBC still wants a hand in that cookie jar.
Well, the rumor is, I'm pretty sure Al and all of them have something to do with this, bro. And I'll just tell you why. Because the rumor is this is going to land on the Errol Spence undercard.
Ooh.
January 20th.
I'll be down with that. I might go to Brooklyn for that one.
You can't.
Or just go Jersey, you know.
No, you can't, because we're going to be in your house or Info Joe's house.
Right, huh? Yeah.
I leave Los Angeles Sunday, the 21st. Saturday is the 20th. So we'll be watching it either at your house or Joe's house. I don't know, JP's house. Whoever got the pool and the barbecue going. Well, that being said, I think you wanted to – someone super chatted. Was it JD, or am I wrong about that? Did I read that wrong?
Yep, JD.
Shout out to JD on a super chat. He's on the line, but he doesn't want to speak. I guess final thoughts on the topic, guys. I mean, this was a quick one. Good matchup, though. Should we actually turn the music off and actually talk about the matchup really quick, right? A couple of minutes at least on the styles. I mean, we all are picking Jamal, obviously. I guess there's no need to fucking match it, you know.
I mean, we do have a caller. Brandon from Houston did call in.
Oh, excuse me. All right. Well, you didn't tell me.
But he just came in on the back, like, just came in 30 seconds in, you know, like.
Whoa, 30 seconds in. So luckily for you, Brandon, this call, your call.
These calls are brought to you by El Camino Electrical Services, experts in electric vehicle charging stations. For consultations and turnkey installation, visit us at elcaminoelectricalservices.com.
Brandon, you're getting on the line courtesy of JD, the super chatter, and El Camino. What up, bro? We're talking Jamal Charlo. He's just been mandated to get it in with Hugo Centennial. We're hearing it's going to be on the undercard of Errol Spence versus Lamont Peterson in the Barclays Center January 20th. What are your thoughts?
I got Jamal Charlo by murder.
Wow.
Yeah.
How early?
This dude doesn't have a shot. He got knocked out by J-Rock, huh? That's the same dude, right?
Did he get knocked out by J-Rock, or did he go decision?
No, Jamal knocked him out with an uppercut.
Oh, yeah, Matt. Good looking out, man. Good looking out. Catch me on the back.
I got you, TBV fam. Don't worry about it. Is that it, Brandon?
Was that him?
What? What, Brandon?
Centennial. I said, was that Centennial who got knocked out by J-Rock?
He didn't get knocked out. It was a draw.
I don't think he got knocked out. He got knocked down.
But I did I do believe he lost that fight, or I had him losing that fight. I thought J-Rock won that fight. But he didn't get knocked out. He got knocked out by someone else, though, I think. I think he got knocked out by someone else. Let me double check that.
No, the Centennial fight was no contest.
No roadblock.
Say what?
They roadblocking Jamal.
The Centennial fight was a no contest, not a draw.
No, it's for the...
What? Why was it a no contest?
I'm not logged into BoxRec, so I forget.
That's crazy. I remember that fight. I wonder if someone popped. Maybe when Centennial popped?
Probably. That does happen.
Oh, man. Well, there you go, Brandon. Thanks for calling in, my friend.
All right.
Yeah, I believe we all believe. Button. Thank you, brother. Hit that thumbs up button. You heard Brandon. We all believe what you believe, man. I mean, Centennial's gonna have to shock us again the way that he did with Aleem, without a doubt. Let me go out to Texas. Hey, JD, you're getting some hate, man. People are ready to take that $100 bet, especially in your town of Texas. They're not happy that you're going against the Spencer. But that's a whole nother topic.
JD, motherfucker.
There's a lot of things I like to do, so just try to get on my game. I don't know why they're going to call me, because I'm 54 pounds, but I have a brother that's 160.
But I know it's a crazy pick, man. But you know, I just like I said, I'm a fan of the boxers, man. I feel like he outboxed Danny. But to this subject, I just feel like I got a question more so than a you know, just a statement. But like, how do y'all feel? Who do you think Charlo? Because I heard what's Golovkin's trainer name? I forgot that punk's name. I can't stand that dude. But Abel Sanchez, I think his name is. He said some shit like, you know, Charlo got to prove himself at 160. So my question to you is, you know, to you guys is, who is the fight or the, you know, the fighter that Charlo can face? Because this dude ain't it. And it's not going to give him no kind of credibility. But who's the guy that you think that he can get in there with, and people be like, okay, he ready for Triple G, or that tier?
Jacobs, Lemieux, Curtis Stevens. But I think Centennial's a good matchup. I think you're wrong in your assessment. I mean, after Centennial did what he did to a natural middleweight in Emmanuel Aleem, who has a solid win over Ivan Heatrov, I mean, I don't think we could discredit Centennial. If J-Rock is on the comeback trail, why can't Centennial be on the comeback trail from his no contest with J-Rock or his loss to Solecki?
I mean, I don't know, you know, I just know he ain't going to get no credit, you know what I mean? He ain't going to get no, okay, as far as Abel Sanchez thinks, he's not going to say, you know, and then the way I feel like he ready already, you know what I'm saying? But I know that a lot of people not going to feel that way. He got to prove himself. So I'm not mad at the Curtis Stevens fight, even though he's probably still asleep somewhere. But I mean, you know, I don't know, man. He got to have that name. I feel like him and Andrade is on a collision course. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So whoever went out of them two.
Who and Andrade?
Then you can say, okay, they ready. Charlo.
Come on, man. Charlo's not going to fight Andrade before Andrade fights Jacobs.
Yeah, nah, I don't see that collision course. You see. I think Jacobs and Jamal have a better shot. No problem, brother. Let's get up out of here. What'd you say, Matt?
HBO. You don't think Andrade and Jacobs will fight before Andrade and Charlo?
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that's probably the most likely.
I also think that Jamal and Jacobs would fight before Jamal and Charlo.
You mean Jamal and Andrade?
Yeah.
Jamal and Charlo, yes. And is his middle name.
Yeah, well, show. Let's, I think we final thought this one.
Yeah, wrap it up.
Wrapping up. I'm hungry as hell, too.
I need some coffee.
Coffee? I know, I made some. I don't feel the way that JD feels. Interesting to see if you guys leave any comments to see how you feel about this opponent. And answer JD's question. If not Centennial, then who? I guess, Matt, in your final thoughts, give me your who as well. And do me doomsday, your who as well. Because if it's not Centennial.
Robbie says Monroe Jr.
No, he just went off a loss. That makes zero sense. Gabriel Rosado makes some sense. The name.
That's crazy that you guys would give more validity to a guy with about 9 losses versus a guy that has 1 and is coming off of a huge knockout of an up and coming interim titleist. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, Rosado is much more established in the division than Centennial, I would say. Like, Aleem's, like, again, Centennial's biggest win is Aleem. Aleem's biggest win is Heatroff. Who are those guys? Like, that, like, those are all prospects. Like, your best win can't be a prospect.
Let's give Hugo some credit. He can box, you know?
True, but it doesn't make him elite. They're two different things.
I think he's going to make a good fight for Charlo, even though, you know, of course, I'm going for Jamal.
You guys are mean. You got to understand, if there's no Centennials where we consider an underdog, we erase the Rocky story, and that's what boxing is built on. And Centennial proved how much of a Rocky he is with his knockout destruction of Emmanuel Aleem. Whether you want to say who is Aleem, what about the fashion in which he knocked them out? That means something.
I agree with that point, but very quickly, that 212 number is the very own Coach Midi.
Oh, that's Midi. Midi.
U.S. phone, you know?
Oh, I got to forget. I can always forget that he's got the U.S. phone. Midi, we're going to go ahead and bring you on because that's what we do to our patron family. What up, B?
Yo.
Yo, we meeting up? Hello? We meeting up in a couple hours or what? You going Uber, right?
Yeah, I will do that. I'll Uber.
Or do you want to meet up to eat? We should eat. I'm starving, but I don't know if I can wait. I don't know if I can wait till 2:45 to eat. I got to eat right now. I'm about to eat my arm.
No, don't wait. Don't wait because I'm taking the people from work for lunch, and then from there we just they're gonna go for Thanksgiving, and then I'll go and meet you guys.
All right. Maybe I hope you made some space in, or you came with a decent sized suitcase. I got to send a couple of shirts to our UK family out there. But anyway, let's get right into it. You know, the news is Jamal Charlo will be taking on Hugo Centennial Jr. for an interim WBC in the interim while Gennady and Canelo get their things together. Couple of questions. I mean, I'm sure you've been listening, right, for at least 3 minutes, so you heard my questions to my co-host. So, I mean, jump in.
Yeah, I mean, like, I figured out, I think, what the question is. I think you're asking, like, you know, who should Charlo be fighting and if that's a good fight. I'm not going to pretend I know much about that Centeno. Like, so I don't really know too much about him. But you know, I really wouldn't mind to see him against Rosado just to see what he's going to do, right? and just because I'm more familiar with Rosado, and maybe that's why.
But why is everyone forgetting? Why is everyone forgetting that the little brother Jermell, and I don't mean that like in a condescending way or anything like that, but he is the younger brother or the smaller brother in body, right? And he already beat Rosado very well, very early in his career. Like, he did that a long time ago.
It's possible.
People forget
it's
about that,
though. Possible. And, you know, and it's very likely that Jamal will do that, too, and will do that with, like, a stoppage. What I think it will do for his name, though, and what I think it will do to set up other fights and the bigger fight that he's talking about would be better, because people like me, for example, that don't know much about the dude he's about to fight, will be able to say, oh, actually, we want to see Jamal with the likes of Golovkin. We want to see Jamal with the likes of Canelo, because, you know, those are guys that are in and around like that. We know what happens with like Rosado and those guys, right? So that's fine. And that's the reason why people want to see a name that is more recognizable and a name that they can draw comparison with, right? So, you know, and that's the only reason I'm saying that. But there are other fights that could be happening. I'm not just saying that this guy who's an up-and-coming prospect or is just like beating like interim contender to the belt is not a good opponent. It might be a good opponent, but, you know, I'm more interested to see him against a name that I know and recognize. So that's really what the point I want to put across.
All right, Mitty. Well, thanks for calling in. Listen, man, I mean, he's right? Like, it would make more marketable sense to have a more recognizable name in there with Jamal Charlo.
I put this way. Rosado isn't a name that I'm like, I want that fight more. But I know that it's probably a more realistic name to propel you to a Triple G or Canelo.
Yeah, but you got Rosado on social media trying to get a Julio Cesar Chavez come off the couch fight.
That's true, huh? That's good.
Yeah.
Smart by him, by the way. Shout out to Gabriel Rosado trying to make some money moves.
It is a money move, not only because of the legendary name, but also Mexican Puerto Rican rivalry. You got it. You know, he's really going in his bag. He's it's
in Mexico City right now.
Credit to Rosado, man. I watched him come all the way up. I mean, even the power that he has on social media at this point, this guy's getting a good percentile in engagement on his posts. He's truly a Rocky story, people's champ. He did movies. I mean, yo. But I don't think that he deserves a shot just because, like, he lost to the brother.
What about Ryota Moreira? Just got watched by 30 million.
I mean, you gotta go to patreon.com/TheBoxingVoice to hear my interview, exclusive one-on-one sit-down, never seen, never heard before, with Bob Arum, where he completely says Ryota Moreira, Toyota Corolla, will not be fighting anybody.
Or
he's fighting in I don't even want to mess up where he's from. Where is he really from? I don't want, because, you know,
he's from Japan.
Right, or, so they're going to be fighting in Japan because of something. I think he told me something about 33 point something million viewers or something like that.
Anyways, or we get to 60,000 subscribers and we drop that interview for free on YouTube.
True. So,
tell a friend to tell a friend. Subscribe to the show. Subscribe to the YouTube channel.
That's right. We'll
that Bob Arum interview. We talked about Terrence Crawford, Jeff Horn, Joseph Parker, Bryant Jennings, Ryota Moreira.
We're almost there, too. We're at 59,836 subscribers.
Yes. So we're less than 200 away. So tell a friend to tell a friend.
Less than 200. And guess what? It's only almost 12 o'clock noon here, which means it's almost 9 o'clock for Matt, and we've already done two shows. So on that note, I'm your host, Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO.
And I'm Matt the Hipster Hunter. You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter, Matt Hunter TV on Instagram, and my MMA podcast, Mixed Combat Radios, on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, etc. Peace.
Matt, you sound like the Matchbox guy. You can catch me on Facebook, Alexander Linus. Catch me on IG, Alex_Doomsday_Linus. Twitter, Alex Linus TBV.
And if you're on, I believe it is, our $15 Patreon tier, come and sign up before Christmas. Well, I guess I got to put a cutoff date. I'm going to say December 15th is the cutoff date for the signups on Patreon to receive the Patreon-only TBV Podcast Kings shirt. Some of my UK listeners, you'll be receiving yours soon enough. Since Coach Mitty is on U.S. soil, we'll send him with a TBV shipment to get it out to you guys. Robbie Hearn, I believe he got his already. If not, it is on its way, my friend. And, you know, Dove Joel and, you know, so many others. So what else did I want to say? Your continued support on Patreon allows us to go to these camps. We're already in talk with Errol Spence, everyone's favorite fighter, right? He already told us sometime next month. You know, December is an expensive month, not only because it's the holidays and we all have families, but also because flights tend to go up in price because they want to milk us. So we're going to need that support from you guys. Keep them signups coming. Keep them super chats coming because we're going to have to buy those plane tickets to go see Errol Spence in a very high flying season. But don't forget to subscribe to the iTunes if you want to use this for your working out, your walk in the parks, on your commute, your flights. Remember, it's podcasts as well. I'm out of here.